This morning, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ by telling the story. All right. So one thing that we want to get better and better at as a congregation, as the people of God, is reflecting on the story of God and telling the story of God. And not just that story, but how our story is interwoven, right, within His story. All right. And so, one of the challenges is that this is the most important story that any of us will ever hear. So no pressure as I went to bed last night, right? And this is also the most important story you will ever tell, right? And we've heard so many stories, right? And sometimes, you know, you have a relative, you know, it's always, for some reason, uncles get a bad rap. You know, it's always a crazy uncle. I don't know why we never talk about crazy aunts, but sometimes you have a crazy uncle or whatever, and they're telling a story, and you don't know if it's true or not. It's okay if they mess up the story. But when it comes to this story, we want to make sure that we get it right, right, and we tell it well. And so, kids, I'm going to need your help, okay? So you have items as well. There's just one item I will just mention, just so you know, there is a nail inside of your bag, okay? So just so you know, not kids, just the adults. So kids, when it comes to that part, you'll just have to look at the person sitting next to you, and please do not reach and try to grab the nail and stab yourself, and that's the whole thing, okay? So don't do that. All right, so we are going to tell this story little by little, and I'm going to ask for some interaction. For those of you who are online, you may not be able to hear that, but we're going to try our best. So in the beginning, who was in the beginning? God was in the beginning, right? So God, and what are some of the things He made? Animals and the stars, right, and the skies. Kids, does anybody here, of the kids, does anybody have a favorite animal that you want to shout out? Shout out your favorite animal. A cat, okay. All right, anybody else? Turtles, okay. I like monkeys. I really like monkeys. All right. Yeah, thank you. All right, and how about for the adults? Any of you have favorite animals?
Hippopotamus.
Giraffe.
Lion.
Kangaroo. All right. There was a song that we used to sing in kids' church. It goes, hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made it all. All right, that man. Yeah, so God made it all, right? God made it all. And everything was good, right? And then God made people, right? And God made people. And so if you want to reach in your sack, I'm going to give you a clue for your first item. So your first item, I will give you a clue. Mirror, mirror on the wall. What do you think that might be? What looks like a mirror in your bag? Yeah, the foil, right? All right, you can take the foil out. All right, you want to straighten that out. It got it kind of damaged in the delivery. All right. So if this foil was like right out of the package, right, and you looked into it, you can see what?
Yourself,
a reflection. And so God made people to reflect Him, right? To reflect His glory, right? And so everybody look at yourself. And you can say, I reflect the Lord's glory. I know that's hard to believe sometimes, okay? But really, it's true, right? We reflect the Lord's glory, not just in our appearance, right? But in the way that we live out our lives and the way that we govern and take dominion over the earth. All right, and so everything was good, everything was perfect, we didn't have shame, everything was all good. Everybody say, everything was all good. All right, now, reach in your bag. What is something that you might find in your bag that makes it to where it might not all be good? There was one thing that the Lord told us not to do, and that was? Eat the apple. Oh, wow, my goodies just all fell on the ground. Okay, so, all right, I think we're good. All right, so, yeah, so that was one thing that the Lord said to the people not to do. And so Eve and then Adam, he was along for the ride and cheering her on. Adam. And she, you know, they, You can eat it if you want, but probably not to. Well, I don't think we're supposed to eat in the sanctuary, so don't eat it. Okay, don't eat it. All right, pretend. So they ate the apple, and then what happened? Yeah, their eyes were opened, right? And there was like sin entered the world, right, for the first time. And so if you can take this foil now, if you can imagine there was this perfect, perfect image that was being created. Now take that foil and let's crumble it up. Now try to look at yourself through that. Not a lot of reflecting going on, right? Very damaged, right? And so that is the problem, right, that we had. And we still continue to have without Jesus, right? And so there were a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament, right, that where people were trying to fix this situation, right? People were trying to get to God somehow in some way. And so there were, I mean, once sin came in the world, it was awful, right? And just all of these bad things began to take place. People were, you know, they were just, I mean, brothers and sisters were going at each other. One of the very first humans, they did something terrible to their own brother, right? And so that began to happen. And then God, he developed a plan, not really a business plan, but he developed a plan, his plan, and it was to raise up a people, right? To raise up a people, a group of people to reflect his image, right? And declare his praises to the ends of the earth. Does anybody remember who that group of people was? Israel. And so we have a little flag in your bag of Israel. All right. We're not going to do this whole nationalism thing, but okay. But we do have a flag of Israel. Okay. So these were a people, right? That God, and you can just kind of empty out your bag one by one because we're going to, if you want to do that. And so God used this group of people. They weren't special in the sense that God didn't love anyone else, but God chose them to reflect his glory. Right? And at one point, you might remember the story, right? Where Abraham, the Lord takes him out and he looks up at the stars of the sky. Remember this? Right? And there's all these stars in the sky. So everybody look up. Right? We have a few stars, kind of, I don't know, lights. Right? But there's all these stars in the sky. And remember what the Lord told him? He said, you are going to be blessed, right? And just as many as the stars of the sky, that's how many descendants you're going to have. So this little country of Israel, this small group of people, were going to be used to announce God's glory to the ends of the earth and reflect him to everyone, right? Well, they didn't always get it right. In fact, they got it wrong a lot. And there were all kinds of things that they tried to do to make things right with God. Sacrifices were to be had, and just all kinds of sacrifices and just all of this effort, right, to try to get to God. In fact, they even began to have kings, right? And so they had these kings that were trying to get them on the right path, and some of their kings were good and a lot of their kings were bad, and there's just this kingdom that was reaching for God, but still they couldn't reflect his image, right? Holding up this little damaged aluminum foil for those of you listening online. They couldn't meet that. And so in the New Testament, right, we get to the newer part of the story, right? And there were a lot of things then to like, so how is God going to do this? Like, how is God going to fix this? Well, God himself actually said, well, you know what? I'm going to become king. Right? So he sends Jesus. So in your bag, can anybody find any object that might represent a tiny, tiny, tiny baby? I have to use your imagination here. There's a little soft, soft, soft cloth in there, okay? And it'd have to be a very small baby for this cloth, right? So just use your imagination, all right? So this soft cloth, so God sends his son Jesus, and right, he wasn't just a king that came down in this great power, right? With a sword and, you know, with cavalry and horses and all that. But God sends his son. God actually becomes a man, becomes a baby. And he comes to this earth, right? And we celebrated this on Christmas, right? He becomes Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And then he lives, right? He grows up. And I think sometimes what we can miss at Easter is that Jesus, this Jesus, he came and he taught. And he taught with authority. And he was active on this earth and he was healing people. He was touching people. Everybody take your hands and touch your hands. He was touching people with his hands. Right? He was speaking with his own words. He became one of us. God became king. Right? And Jesus, he lived this life and he healed people. He opened people's blinded eyes. He opened deaf ears. Right? He spent a lot of time with people that no one else wanted to touch. He spent a lot of time with people that no one else wanted to be around. All the religious, real kind of uptight religious people, they were always saying bad things about him. But Jesus kept serving and kept loving and kept loving and kept serving. And this got Jesus in a lot of trouble. This got Jesus in a whole lot of trouble. People didn't want to, there were certain religious leaders that didn't want to be around him. In fact, they didn't just want to be around him. They didn't just want to ignore him, but they wanted him dead. Right? They wanted to kill him. So in your sack, there were a lot of accusations made. But there were, before you dig in there, there were several disciples, right? And there were several people that Jesus was teaching what to do, right? And how to live this awesome life, right? And he had different disciples. But he had one disciple, right, that we can remember who went against Jesus. Does anybody remember that disciple's name? Any of you kids? The one who betrayed Jesus? Yeah, I hear some whispers. Judas. Whew, that really took this blind guy's hearing to a new height, but I did hear it. Okay? All right. So Judas betrayed him, and in your bag, there's a couple coins. You kind of have to dig for those. So these coins, Judas, to betray Jesus, he simply received some coins, just the price of betrayal. Jesus, now you can take those out. And if you just look at those coins, it's not worth much, right? 2 cents. What can you buy with 2 cents? I don't know if you can buy anything with 2 cents in this economy. I'm not saying that it wasn't exactly 2 cents, right? But it wasn't much money, right? That Judas betrayed the Lord. And some of you, you can identify with this, right? You can identify with the suffering of Christ. Right, he was, we're going to get to this in a minute, but yes, he was physically beaten and abused, but he was emotionally beaten and abused. Right, he had his friend, Judas, for just 2 meager, pennies or just a little bit of money, right? He was betrayed, suffering the physical weight of death and also suffering the emotional weight of death. And guys, this is what I want you to hear this morning. Jesus identifies with you. He identifies with your suffering. For those of you who are suffering physically, he identifies with your physical suffering. And he identifies with your emotional suffering. There is nowhere that you have walked that Christ has not walked before you. He's identified with you. And after this emotional betrayal, there was a physical. There's a physical betrayal. There's a nail in your bag that you guys may have found by now. One of the biggest nails I could find. Right. So be careful with it. Don't poke yourself. And so you remember there was a trial. It's an unfair trial. It's at the wrong time of day. Shouldn't have even happened. There was no crime that Jesus really even did that was legitimate. And so you remember the leaders when they took out Jesus and they said, hey, what should be done to him? Remember what the people said, right?
Crucify
him. Kill him. Can you imagine, guys? I've been in a lot of crazy situations, but I don't think I've ever been in a situation where there's just such a frenzy that people are yelling, kill someone. I've never been in that situation. And man, I've been in some situations. But man, can you imagine being there? Right? People just all charged up. Probably some of the same people who saw these wonderful things that we were talking about. Miracles and teaching with authority. And they're all amped up. Kill him. And they do. Jesus goes to the cross. Right? And he's killed. He's left alone on the cross. And there were people there, and Jesus' own mother was there. And she begins to weep. In your bag, you have something symbolizing tears and some water. Right? Not only were some of the women and his mother crying for the loss of her son, but Jesus also wept over us, right? Remember when Jesus sees the city of Jerusalem and he just weeps? I used to have a picture in college on my screensaver. That was the screensaver days. And it was a picture, of course it was of a white Jesus because that's what Americans do. But anyway, there was a picture of Jesus, and I wish it wasn't. I wish he was Middle Eastern, but that they got that part wrong. But whatever. He was sitting there, and there was a globe. Maybe you guys, it might have been popularized, I don't know, but there was like this globe, and Jesus was looking at that globe, and there was just a tear streaming from his face. Jesus wept over us, and you know, people were weeping over his death. And on Good Friday, right, many of us, we wept, right, and we mourned as we reflected on this, on our Savior Jesus dying on the cross. And I guess what I want to just say today that it is appropriate, right? It is appropriate to mourn. It's appropriate to reflect and to think about those things, because what Jesus did was costly. And I think I would also want you to know that this is another area that Jesus has identified with us on, right? To face pain and to face suffering and with tears. And then after he was killed, he was prepared and put in a tomb. You should have a rock in there. Some of you have a bigger tomb than others. Some rocks that are bigger than others, right? Okay. So he's put in a tomb. And here in a second, Jim is going to come and read us the rest of the story. But let's go back and review. Okay, so first we were created in the image of God, right? And what happened? It was all messed up, right? That reflection of God was all messed up because we sinned, right? And not just Adam and Eve, not just Eve, but all of us. We've all eaten the apple in some way. Man, what an awful place that was in our lives, right? And then God raised up a people for himself, Israel. I've lost Israel. Don't know where Israel is. It's really buried. Come here, Israel. Okay. So here's Israel, right? And God raised up a people for himself to reflect him, to reflect his glory. And sometimes they got it right, but oftentimes they got it wrong. Right? But he used them to reflect God to the nations. And then finally, there's a long, long story. There's a lot to it. But then God sent Jesus, right? Sent Jesus as a baby, innocent, lived a perfect, awesome life. He was betrayed emotionally. He was betrayed with the coins and Judas. He was killed physically. He wanted to feel the weight of this long, long plan that God had So just like Jesus like rolled up and like, ta-da, in the tomb. This is a long story. Where tears shed on the cross. And there's one more thing in your bag, but I'm going to wait to look at that one until after Jim reads the text. And I'm going to go to the side here and allow him to read this. So we're going to read, if you go to your Bibles, in Luke chapter 24. You know, Jim is going to read a very simple English version. So you're more than welcome to turn in your Bibles, but it will be a little bit more difficult to follow along. I would encourage you maybe even just to listen to Jim. You can look in your Bibles, but I think it might just be good to hear the story. We're going to read. It's a lengthy one, but let's listen to what happened next.
It is lengthy, and I know sometimes when you're hearing someone read for a long period of time, it's like, so just have your brain tell your ears, listen intently to the very end of the story, because as John said, this is the greatest story ever told, and it's written in a simplified version of the Bible. What is the version? The New International Reader's Version. So, it was very early in the morning on the first day of the week. The women took the spices they had prepared. They went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from it. When they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes as bright as lightning stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you he would rise? It was while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, quote, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people. He must be nailed to a cross. On the third day he will rise from the dead.' Then the women remembered Jesus' words. They came back from the tomb. They told all the things to the 11 apostles and to the others. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others were with the ones who told the apostles. But the apostles did not believe the women. Their words didn't make sense to them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent over and saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Then he went away, wondering what had happened. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked about these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but God kept them from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only person visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know? Don't you know about the things that have happened here in the last few days?" Jesus asked, "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet. He was powerful in what he said and did in the sight of God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed Jesus over to be sentenced to death. They nailed him to a cross. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to set Israel free. Also, it is the third day since all this happened. Some of our women came and told us what they had seen." Some of our women were amazed too, sorry. "Early this morning, they went to the tomb, but they could not find his body. So they came and told us what they had seen. They saw angels who said Jesus was alive. Then some of our friends went to the tomb. They saw it empty, just as the women had said. They did not see Jesus' body there. Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are. How long it takes you to believe all the prophets said. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then receive his glory?' Jesus explained to them what was said about him in all the scriptures. He began with Moses and all the prophets." Now, they approached the village where they were going. Jesus kept walking as if he were going farther, but they tried hard to keep him from leaving. They said, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. He joined them at the table, and then he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But then he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "He explained to us what the scriptures meant. Weren't we excited as he talked to us while on the road?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and those with him. They are all gathered together. They were saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what had happened to them on the way. They told how they had recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. The disciples were still talking about this when Jesus himself suddenly stood among them. He said, "May you have peace." They were surprised and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have a body or bones, but you can see that I do." And after he said that, he showed them his hands and feet. But they still did not believe it. They were amazed and filled with joy. So Jesus asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must come true." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer. He will rise from the dead on the third day. His followers will preach his name. They will tell others to turn away from their sins and be forgiven. People from every nation will hear it, beginning at Jerusalem. You have seen these things with your own eyes. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But for now, stay in the city. Stay there until you have received power from heaven." This is the last part. Jesus led his disciples out into the area near Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them. He was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him. With great joy, they returned to Jerusalem. Every day, they went to the temple praising God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jim. What a story. Right. This is what happened. If you would reach in your bag, there's one last item there. There's just a white kind of linen or cloth, at least. Right? The tomb was empty. Right? The tomb was empty. They couldn't find Jesus. And what a story of discovery. And I mean, Jesus, he's got to have a sense of humor. Like, what happened? What do you mean? Right? I mean, he's just interacting, you know, with these folks as if he didn't know what was going on. And then he gets very serious, right? And he just talks about all that we had just been talking about, how everything had led up into that moment. The entire history of Israel leading to that moment. He revealed himself and they touched him. Just as I close today, I think some of us, we need to be reminded of how awesome of a Savior that we have. What great lengths that he went to, right? To reveal himself and to show himself. And I think for some of us, we can tend to just kind of just keep going, right? And moving on one thing to the next thing. But man, guys, Christ is risen. He is the King of all kings, right? God became king. So I don't know if that sinks in. I mean, that is a crazy reality. The God of this universe became king. And he dwelled with us. And he still continues to dwell with us through the power of his Holy Spirit and the reality of his Spirit. So if you're here today and you've either never realized that or that's never become a reality for you, if you're listening online and that's never been a reality for you, you've never acknowledged, you've never kind of fessed up and confronted this old life that you've been living, or this difficult life that you've been living in terms of your life of sin, you have a chance, right? We have this chance, this wonderful chance, this wonderful opportunity to come near to God and really say, not just with our words, because really it wasn't so much about Jesus' words in that last chapter that we read. It was a lot about his actions, you know, that people really, that were the coin really dropped in the slot, so to speak. But you have a chance to confess and acknowledge and live for the Lord. And for others of us here, I think it would be fitting for us to renew, right? We were talking about in our prayer time this morning, renewing our vows to the Lord, right? Renewing our commitment to the Lord, right? If this is all true and all of human history hinges on this event, and everything was pointing to this moment, and we're all moving in that direction, surely we want to give our lives to it, right? Surely we want to lay our lives down, not just so much that we, you know, continue to do church things and continue to, you know, come and worship each Sunday and do all the right Christian things, but then we go, right, and we take this out to the nations, right, so that every person would hear and know. And the Holy Spirit, God has promised, Jesus has promised, that the Holy Spirit would empower us to take this thing to the ends of the earth. It can't be hidden, right? Some of you kids, you might know that song, right? This little light of mine, right? We're not going to hide it under a bushel, right? We're not going to hide it, right? But we're going to let that light shine to the world because he's risen. So I'd like to pray a prayer, just a prayer of salvation and coming to the Lord, and also a prayer of commitment to the Lord. So would you pray with me? Well, Father, we come to you. Lord, we're thankful for your story, which is the most amazing story ever told. Lord, thank you, Lord, that though we're just a very small part of the story, you're the main character. You've invited us into it. What an awesome, awesome privilege it is to be part of your story. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for coming and dying and on the cross and forgiving us of our sin and rising from the dead. Lord, for those of us listening online who may be making this choice for the first time to turn away from their sin and turn to you, Lord, I pray, we just pray that just together now, that Lord, you would forgive us of our sin, Lord, and that you would make us new. Lord, we say, Lord, that you are Lord of our lives. We surrender our lives to you. We relinquish the control that we think that we have, and we give it to you. Lord, and we say, for those listening online or even to anybody here, we say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are King. We give our lives to you. Lord, for those of us who have prayed that prayer again and again, we continue to pray, Lord, make that new, make that real, make that just so, so sealed in our hearts. Lord, as we go through our week and we go through our days, that we wouldn't forget it. And Lord, that we would announce that, Lord, to everyone we possibly can. Lord, that we would tell that story, that we would live that story, that we would demonstrate that story. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. We love you, we praise you, in Christ's name, amen.